Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. And first things, hey, you did it. Loyal listeners, sustaining members came through for WIPR in the fund drive that wrapped up last night. We who work here are so grateful, and we promise to make the very best use of every dollar you pledged. Thank you so much. Now to the news. It's been 3 months since leadership in Baltimore City's liquor license board was overhauled. Former City Circuit Court Judge Thomas Ward was appointed as chairman of the board, which is a state agency funded in the city budget. Governor O'Malley appointed Dana P. Moore to be one of the three commissioners and appointed Judge Ward to be commissioner and chairman of the board. The third commissioner, Harvey Jones, stayed in place. The board has had a bad reputation for some time now. In 2013, the state's Office of Legislative Audits came down hard on the board for problems with inspections, policies, and management. I spoke with Chairman Thomas Ward yesterday. He said before he was appointed, he was, quote, out of touch with what was happening at the board.
And apparently what was happening is that the liquor board forgot all about the community. And licenses are a privilege, not a right. And when you issue a liquor license, your conduct is how you operate the license should in no way detract from the life of a nearby neighbor. Unfortunately, we found that that was not true. Anyway, some of the exhibitions of evidence that we saw were absolutely stunning with respect to the harm that it caused the life that you might have if you live near one of these bars. And I think one of our jobs is to correct that.
3 months after the new board has been assembled, we want to find out what has been corrected. So joining us now is Fern Shen, editor of the online news site Baltimore Brew. Busy morning, Fern. I heard you on Inside Maryland Politics. Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in.
A hot topic. Thanks.
And also with us is Becky Witt, attorney with the Community Law Center. She blogs about the liquor board at their blog, Booze News. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Becky, we spoke in March about legislation the General Assembly was considering that aimed to make the liquor board more transparent. Has transparency been improved?
I think so. They've been making some good changes with things like making sure applications are complete, actually sending out inspectors to do more inspections. So I think that there have been some good changes since the audit came out, certainly, and since this new board was put in place. There are still a lot of issues, I think, with consistency from one hearing to the next. So the violation hearings, sometimes they'll give a 30-day suspension for a violation, and then the next week they'll give a 3-day suspension for the same violation. But so there's some consistency issues, but overall I think transparency has improved.
Yeah, the Baltimore Sun says that the revamped board is tougher, was the adjective in the headline. The Sun reported the board has found 119 bars and liquor stores guilty of violations in the last 3 months compared to 33 in the same period last year. And the Sun editorialized that Chairman Thomas Ward's leadership of the board called him a new sheriff in town. Fern, do you see this dramatic a shift?
I think somehow that narrative has hardened prematurely, in my opinion. The good news is they seem to be moving in the right direction. The good news is there's a very sort of robust community interest in pushing the board to be more responsive. But I think that the consistency issues that Becky's talking about are still there. You know, we just have a story in the Baltimore Brew noting that, you know, on the one hand, we had a recent zombie license. I can explain what a zombie license is for the listeners, but killed. And then, not that long ago, a zombie license was allowed to walk among us by this board. This is not, you know, the historic previous board.
Becky, tell us what a zombie license is.
Sure. So a zombie license, basically, the legislature has decided, and the city has decided, that there are too many liquor licenses in Baltimore City. And so they're trying to not issue as many, and they're trying to let some expire that are not being used. And so the law says that if you haven't used your liquor license in the past 180 days, then your license expires on the 181st day, and it is no more. You can come in and ask for an extension of an additional 180 days for a total of 360 days. And historically, with the previous board and still with this board, they have given additional extensions out beyond that one hardship extension that the law provides. And it's just something that the law does not really allow for, but the board has been doing anyway. So zombie licenses are licenses that really are dead according to the law, but the board is allowing them to live on as if they were alive.
That's Becky Witt here on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Fern Shen of the Baltimore Brew. Becky is with the, I'm sorry, I'm missing the name of your group.
Community Law Center.
Community Law Center. The name of your blog is more memorable. Booze News is very hard to forget. We spoke with Chairman Ward yesterday, and when we did, he told us that, yes, in the past, the 180-day rule had been ignored. He says the 180-day law is complicated and out of date, and he's proposing there be some changes to the law.
I'm recommending changes with respect to liquor licenses that are delayed by government, where government itself doesn't act, give the permits or the things that are, and government is the cause of the delay, keeping the license from opening for business. You see, the law allows only a certain period of time, a maximum of 1 year, and the government operations today are much more complicated than they were a year, 10 years ago, or 15, 20 years ago, and they take a long time. We hear that all the time. Judge, we've applied before the zoning board, and they haven't given us an opinion, and we can't move until we get a solution, they say. So meanwhile, they sit. And then, of course, after a while, they then go for their construction permits, and government again delays them.
So I asked him if he was basically saying that it's often not the licensee's fault that a license lies unused for more than two 180-day periods. And he basically said yes. How does this strike you as, let me ask you, Becky, as someone who follows the board's action? I mean, is this a backdoor way to more delays, or do you think he is going to speed things up?
Well, I think that that might be the case in about maybe half of the zombie license cases where the licensees really are trying to move things along and issues come up. But a lot of these licensees just close and for no really good reason except that maybe business isn't so good and it has nothing to do with waiting for permission from any city agency. And I think certainly as the chairman of the board, he should suggest changes to the law that would benefit communities and licensees, but I think the board needs to apply the law as it's written now until the law is changed.
Yeah, if I can just amplify that, I think that applying the letter of the law really helps to level the playing field for communities who are at such a disadvantage. I've seen them come up against, some of the biggest law firms in town, and they're trying to, plead their case, as best they can. And, having the board essentially, really just sort of follow the law and follow it closely and try to do it equally is really, maybe the only chance they're going to have to have an equal shot.
Ward told us about some of his plans for the liquor board for owners who have passed management on to other parties and operators. He wants to require that those owners appear with their licenses for any liquor board proceeding. And he said some owners have skipped the proceedings. He also says he has plans for bars that have become a public nuisance.
Well, my approach to it is to modify the punishment to close them for a short period of time, to wake them up and tell them that if they come back again and they have this problem, then it's going to be much more serious. Now, the bars, of course, do not like to be closed. In the old days, they just got fined, and finding a bar that has a business like that doesn't make any difference to them. But closing it for a month, 2 months, a weekend, two weeks, and so forth, that makes a big difference to them. And so we're getting their attention all over. That's what I'm finding. We're getting the attention of the liquor industry.
Becky, we're almost out of time. What do you think of that approach? Does it fit into consistency?
Sure, yeah, I think it does. So I think that's great. I think I agree with him that suspensions really do get the attention of the licensee much more than a small fine. But yeah, the suspensions need to be consistent over time.
Fern, a last thought about his approach?
I agree. They seem to be kind of winging it a lot. If they can stay consistent with that, I think that approach could work.
Well, I know both of you are going to be keeping a close eye on this, and so we will keep in touch with you about it. I appreciate your coming in to talk about it.
Thank you.
On such a rainy morning. Fern Shen is editor of the online news site Baltimore Brew. Becky Witt is an attorney with the Community Law Center. She blogs about the Liquor Board at their blog, Booze News. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, the story of how Crofton came to be. Stay with us on 88.1.